Hey, do you want to be like me and make podcasts that everyone loves? Yeah, you do. But chances are, you don't want to spend a bunch of money doing it. No worries. A solution exists. Spotify's got a platform that lets you make podcasts super easy, then distribute those podcasts everywhere, and you can even earn money doing it. All in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Also, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. I'm speaking from experience when I say that all those additional features like video podcasts, Q&As, polls, those are things you won't find for cheap elsewhere. But with Spotify for Podcasters, it's all totally free. No catch. I highly recommend you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. Thanks. We love you.
Gentlemen, welcome to our podcast. We are recording right now.
That's the name of this podcast. We are recording.
That's a good...
It's not bad.
I mean,
I've definitely heard worse.
It's gonna... I have a note for Adam.
Carrie, did you do the thing we asked you to do?
Oh, yes. I wrote it down.
Oh, you wrote... Okay, pass it over. All right.
Here comes the note.
Let me just confirm.
What
this
is it
going
to say?
A note that says, the gays
good.
Love dick.
Oh,
signed Chet Wilde. That's on brand for him. I'm not going to lie.
Why would Chet do something like that?
You know, Chet now apparently is really into drugs.
Wow. Yeah, he really, I watched it happen too. It's very rare that you're there for the night that somebody takes a real nosedive into the world of narcotics, but
he really swung for the fences. We'll have him.
This is going to post after that episode, right?
After Chet ate the weed brownie? Yeah, that was weeks ago, Caitlin. Did you eat one also?
Fuck, sorry. Yeah, I did.
No, I don't know when that live podcast is going up, but...
But we are definitely in a space where it's happening after, right? So I can talk about it without spoiling anything. That's
right.
All I'm worried about. I have not seen someone make such a grave error since college. Like, truly, I don't know what happened...
We're friends, so I
also I should
like
say welcome to Pretty Scary.
Something.
Oh, Pretty Scary Boo!
Now let's get back to talking about Chet almost dying.
Yay, that's good. That's good. No, I mean, well, first of all, Carrie, you're a sneaky imbiber. I don't ever like turn around and go, oh no, like you never give me an opportunity to stop you. It's already happened before I've gotten there, or I turn around and then I turn back, and
well,
there's
then it just becomes par for the course.
Well, it's just like, okay, here we are. No, but Chet
and
was...
You slap your mom jeans on and...
Here I am.
Yep. And you're just ride or die.
I'm ready to
Foxhole.
I'm ready to help
Foxhole
out.
Foxhole me.
Uh-huh.
Foxhole
Yay.
Finger me.
Yay.
What was... What me?
Foxhole finger me. If I'm ever in a
foxhole, I get you.
I want Caitlin in my foxhole.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm there. I'm a good... Yeah. Anyway, Chet basically... It all happened in slow motion for me. But I saw him reading the packet of the pot brownie. Like, anytime someone's reading a packet, they're considering it.
Like the their ingredients and, like, a caloric count?
Yeah, like, he's on, like, the Whole 30 or something and is, like, trying to figure out if it's clean eating.
Milligrams of sugar.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, he's not going to do this. Like, this isn't, you know.
I didn't think he was.
And then he just did.
Because I was going to eat the whole thing. And Quincy talked me out of that, so then I just ate half.
Yeah, Adam had gotten talked out of it. You know what happened is his
from
second... From Quincy.
Yeah, when Quincy talks you out of using drugs...
It's not good.
You're doing too many drugs.
What happened was Chet got caught up by his second glass of tequila. And by glass of tequila, I mean a glass of tequila with a little bit of cranberry juice. Like, there wasn't even...
It was pretty strong.
Yeah, Adam had mentioned that he was pretty, like, and I don't see him as, like, an imbiber of, like...
He's really not.
Yeah, alcohol, drugs, anything. But the last time I saw him at the Hollywood Hotel, well, no, the last time he ignored me because he had a big ego, but the time before that,
he was
drunk, you were there, you just found out you were with child.
With child, yes.
And he was outside, and he was like, is it inappropriate that I'm hitting on you? And then I don't think he ever remembered.
Oh, okay.
You were there.
I was there for that. I remember
who was
that.
Chet hitting on?
Like, he was, like kind of, like, flirting with me. And then he was like, do you care that I'm flirting with you? And I was like, I have had way worse. Like, trust me, you were 100% okay, Chet.
That's how you know a moment of romance is going well, is if in the middle of it, somebody goes, is this going okay for you?
Yeah, especially
just
at the...
making you uncomfortable.
Especially at the hitting
words.
On you stage.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
I'm sure that's self-confidence that works out for him all the time.
The funniest part of the night, though, what happened, like, right when I got there. So my friends Sarah and Annalisa came with me, and if... Carrie knows. They're tiny people. Like, mm-hmm. Sarah and Annalisa are, like, miniature. They're, like, Lilliputian tiny. And we're walking from my car to the front of the hotel, and out of nowhere, this incredibly drunk man with this weird bandage on his head just starts to show up, and he looks at me and goes, it's okay? I said, what? Like, I don't know. And he goes, it's okay. I'm like, I don't... And then, you know, I could feel them both like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I felt like it was my job to protect them because just my physical size was in a better spot than they were. And so I'm like shuffling them behind me, and he's going, hey, it's okay. It's
I
okay.
feel like the Hollywood Hotel is like the new Cecil.
It's haunted for sure.
Something, yeah. They always have weird characters.
But
there.
this has a Chet tie-in. So we zoom past, there's like a bunch of open micers waiting in the front, and these poor guys, you know, they're like young stand-up comic guys. They are never around women, and there's like three women like rushing them, and they all like light up like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, excuse me, gotta go. And then all of a sudden I hear the guy crash through the crowd. It's okay, it's okay. And the stand-up comedians are like, hey, man, like, what's going on? What's wrong? you should leave those girls alone. No, really, leave them alone. Like shrinking away immediately. Then they follow us into the hotel. He follows us into the hotel. The Chet tie-in is that Chet had a very nice woman with him. She had this, like, really cool jacket or whatever. And initially, I really did think the guy just had, like, a chemical mask, like, attached to the top of his head. And, of course, he confronts me because that's who I am. And he's sure. like... Well, you're in this hotel. Do you own it? Like, asking me if I own the hotel. And I'm
nobody
just giving...
would ever think I owned anything. They, like, think you owned a hotel.
Do you own the hotel? Are you the boss? Are you a boss lady? Are you... Oh, you married? Oh, I'm sorry. You're married. It's okay. And just like and so then, like, Chet is like, hey, guys, we should just all turn around. And then he tells the guys, like, this is inappropriate. You should leave. Like, just basically he's telling the guy to go away. He goes away, and I turn to Chet. I'm like, that guy had, like, a weird chemical mask on, and he was drunk, and he was a jerk. And then his nice friend says, actually, I think the guy got stabbed in the head. I'm like, what?
What?
He goes, she goes, that wasn't a chemical mask. That's a very specific bandage that people get when they get stabbed in the head. I said, when they get stabbed in the head? Then she follows up with a fact that I did not see coming. Yeah, you know, during the holidays, people get stabbed by their loved ones more often.
Oh,
sure.
That is a tie-in into this episode about being stabbed in the head for the holidays.
Yep. It's sort of about being stabbed in the head-ish.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about the Chicago Rippers.
Hey!
Which sounds like, it's such a cool name.
A little bit lower than the head is the head on your chest.
The head of the chest. That's
the
a
head, the chest head.
Yep. Yep, that's a medical term.
The chest
the
heads.
Left breast.
Or otherwise
stabbed
called
the chest.
Left breast.
Stabbed
right.
I was waiting
if
for this.
You want to lose a breast, get stabbed in the chest.
There we go.
Yay.
I was
new
hey.
Song.
Yeah.
It's not
I
bad.
You like that one, DJ Adam Easy.
2018. Yeah, no, it's great.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
I feel good.
No. You know, it's...
Whoa, that was not a good one.
No.
What?
I'm just going to say, like,
back
that
to
was...
the drawing board.
On the What in the World podcast, that's the Hitler drum. Whenever someone mentions Hitler...
How we'll often just, does it come up?
It's a podcast about international news, and I don't know if you've been paying attention to what's happening in Europe, but it's all turning into Hitler.
Oh, you hit the drum. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's scary.
Mm, yeah.
This is why I like to, like, not know stuff.
Where's Indiana Jones when you need him?
Yeah, we need him to swoop in and fight some fucking Nazis.
Meanwhile,
or he could have swooped in to fight the Chicago Rippers, because, boy, was this a a wily bunch.
Yeah, and there weren't any snakes involved.
They were like a four-man boy band. I made of sorts.
A boy band of Jones, Joe yeah, Arts. Of sorts. Yeah, they. I never heard anything
the River
about this.
Crew. Come on.
Yeah.
Do you think they snapped a lot? You. You think they were like,
yeah,
snapping?
The Super Bowl shuffle.
We are the Ripper crew, ripping on down, doing it for you.
We're not bad. We're cool. We cut off your breasts and we worship Satan. Okay, so it didn't rhyme. Like
so?
I wanted
it doesn't
to.
Have
but
to.
It had,
Satan will fix it,
had
in post.
Power. It had power, Carrie. I felt
a little
weird.
Bit of a punch.
All right.
It was avant-garde.
No. What you have, you can't duplicate. The rest we can fix. It's fine.
Thank you.
Yeah. Man, that got me right in the head of the chest. That's good.
So, yeah, the Chicago Ripper crew. I grew up in Illinois, but I never heard of these motherfuckers. But
that's a badass name. Sorry, I know we already did the name thing, but the Chicago Ripper crew?
Yeah, it's pretty great.
That's like a Quentin Tarantino movie.
In a 17-month span beginning in late May 1981, several women disappeared or were found murdered in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. Nothing interesting about that.
So we were like five. Like, why didn't we know more about this, Adam?
I don't...
We lived just a few hours south.
Yeah, we should have heard
but
something.
We should have known.
Is this like a posthumously named crew?
I don't know.
Because I didn't notice in the notes when they were dubbed this crew,
and they didn't get caught until after, so I should have heard about this.
I mean, that's such a bitchin' name, not to yeah. be super 80s, but I mean,
I'm surprised there weren't t-shirts.
Yeah,
Chicago Rippers t-shirts. Probably a sports franchise now, Chicago Rippers.
17 month span though, I feel like a year and a half, if they would have spread it out more,
right, been more enterprising,
they would have had a bigger following.
Well, you, I mean, look, you'd think, you'd assume more hands make a lighter load, but apparently not.
I mean, they got some victims in there, but it's like it kind of fizzled
out.
They
did some
work.
I just really want to point out that before we move forward, my job, my work, of course, has a softball team. Because of course,
because it's a corporate job.
Yeah.
And of course they have a softball team.
Of course.
Do they have a bowling team?
Yes, they have a bowling team.
Bowling league.
Bowling, yeah. Anyway, they're called the Rippers. So that's all I'm thinking about is my boss doing all of this. But go ahead.
Is it the one who lost a bunch of weight that I have a crush on?
No.
Or the son who has a podcast?
The one that lost a bunch of weight that you have a crush on, I like to always point out, is still the guy that I make the joke about the hot pocket.
Yeah. That turned into a lean pocket in the air. Same
guy. Same guy.
And he's already in prison.
What? Why would you say that?
Because it was. Just, how do you know it's not true?
You just dashed all of her hopes and dreams.
He might, since
I'll
Caitlin left
this,
work.
This flight bottle of Goldschlager at your head.
You don't know what happened since Caitlin got home.
Well, since I left work, since for my maternity leave, he was the one that's taken over all of the live hosting duties since I've been gone.
He developed his own natural talent. You didn't see. There was something where he ran into a conference room and he was dressed up as Will Ferrell or somebody in basketball. I don't know.
Somebody in basketball.
All right.
Was Will Ferrell in basketball?
No. Sure. Oh, I was going to help you.
No, it was, God.
I went there for
Matt
you.
Matt Stone, Trey Parker. Whoever has a curlier hair.
I don't know. I can't tell them apart. It's been Matt, 30 years I of my think. Life, and I have no idea who they, like, the difference.
I'm pretty sure they were both in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. But
who has the curlier hair?
Curliest.
Oh, I
of
don't
them
know.
All.
I think it might be.
Nobody knows.
It is a mystery of the ages.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no
I
one's been able
that's
to figure it out.
As.
All right.
So let's talk about the Chicago Rippers. On Saturday morning, May 15th, 1982, never forget, real estate agent Donald Stibbe arrived for work to find his office door locked, a pair of women's shoes, a keychain, and some cosmetics strewn on the ground in front of the doorway.
Oh, no.
Thinking a woman might have lost her purse, those fucking dames. He phoned Elmhurst Police. Who does that when someone loses their fucking purse? And that's when he noticed the keychain bore his company's name. It was then that Stibbe realized the items on the ground belonged to his secretary, Lorraine Lori Borowski.
Who he used to backhand. She didn't type fast enough.
Exactly. He and police searched the area around the shopping plaza, but could find no trace of her.
Quick time out. So it doesn't say here.
We made it pretty far.
We did. We got a good ways into this.
All right. Go.
So it doesn't say if he went inside. It looks like he did not. Like he didn't discover the body. Or
no.
He didn't go inside. He
no.
didn't see anything. But think about
the
it.
The purse
like,
was
like,
scary enough.
Like yeah. it is now, though, where it's like, oh, I'm going to grab my cell phone out of my pocket. So.
Right. He made a lot of effort.
Where did he call from?
one of those time old payphones that were like miles apart from each other back
that are
in the day.
Full of tetanus and
definitely hepatitis,
desperation,
all of those
and
things.
Ransom callings.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Ransom callings. The '80s were so wild. Did those have? What are ransom callings?
You have to call from a payphone so that you can't be traced. You also hang up before 10 seconds so that it's not traced.
She's working on a book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an autobiography. It's, don't worry about
these
it.
Are her, these are going to be her these are my shorter blog posts. She's working on bulking out her content before she rolls out the overarching.
That's a good strategy.
Fleshing it out.
Blog. Yeah, it's a good strategy. Uh-huh. So, yeah, he and the police searched the area but could not find her. Neighbors had seen her leave her Elmhurst Gardens apartment on South Fellows Court at 8 a.m. She did not own a car. Borowski's family, which included 9 brothers and sisters, were
Jesus
at...
Jesus Christ.
I know, that's way too many.
That's super Catholic.
Yeah, that's Catholic. Yeah. Irish Catholic.
I wonder how long...
Oh, no. Wait. Polacks.
Polish.
That's a big...
Polish? Polacks? One of the two?
That's a big Chicago thing.
Are people still sensitive about Polack?
I don't know.
Because I feel like the only time I hear people get upset about it is like flashback scenes in Martin Scorsese movies. I've never heard somebody use
like
a derogatory.
Everybody's upset about everything.
Correct. Yeah. So that's what I'm asking, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I mean, probably.
I'm
sure
just
they
usually
are.
The one that has to like keep Carrie from like saying something she shouldn't say. And so I just need to make sure the next time that one rolls
out. You're
keeping
a list.
I'm just trying to, or me, I say stupid stuff.
Of course. We all do.
Correct.
Fucking Polack.
Polack.
The Pekin Polacks.
Borowski's family, which included 9 disgusting brothers and sisters, were at a loss to explain her disappearance. Her father, Raymond, said, "We don't think it's a ransom thing. She was just at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Carrie.
She's not the type to disappear." Really? Because it seems like she just disappeared. You know what I mean?
But how is that your type? Sometimes she disappears and sometimes she reappears. It's the craziest thing. My ninth sister.
Honestly, like, it would suck to be the kind of person where when you disappear, everybody unanimously goes, yeah, well.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
you know
her.
What she does. She
just give her, just give her a
Rory,
few days.
Lori.
Disappears for a few months at a time.
Well, with 9 brothers and sisters.
Exactly. 2 weeks later, on May 29th, a second woman disappeared in the same county.
Uh-oh.
This is a very, very sad story. Shui Mak, 30, had come to this country from Hong Kong only 3 years earlier. She lived with her family in Lombard. By day, she worked in a Downers Grove factory with her mother, and at night, she worked in the family-owned restaurant Ling Ling's in Streamwood.
Jesus.
And it was in the early hours of Saturday after the restaurant closed, she disappeared.
Aww.
She was riding home from work with her younger brother. They got in an argument because her brother had brought home a table to stand on while he was painting. And they get in this argument, and her brother pulls over and says, "Well, you can ride home with mom and sister."
I'm going to take his side. I feel like that's like a bitch move. She sounds like a real cunt.
But the problem is when she got out, her mom and sister in the car behind them didn't see her get out.
Right. Oh, God.
So no one realized that she got left there until they got all the way back to Lombard, Illinois, which is a drive. And they go back to pick her up. Gone.
But what are the circumstances? As somebody who has often put themselves in precarious situations,
uh-huh.
Typically Tijuana.
Yeah, it's scary when you tell me stories. It makes me very nervous.
But I mean, I'm here. I made it back.
But by the grace of God,
but
yes.
By, yeah.
Yeah. Where are you getting at?
No, I'm saying what are the chances that like she would have just been like, I'm just going to sit in this cornfield or whatever for a couple of hours until they come back. Like, what are the chances that somebody would have happened upon her and then she would have got murdered?
That the Ripper's crew just
came
by in a
swoop?
Well, I still
have questions about this, and I know you go into some conspiracy theories later. I almost wonder if the brother had something to do with it.
Well, the mother and sister were driving behind him the whole time, though.
But they didn't see her, so how would they know that he even...
But
over.
They would have. They saw him the whole time. They were in.
But then, if he pulled over, why weren't they like pulling over?
Here's
to
what
see
I.
What was
here's
going
what
on.
I want to ask. This is what I want to ask. How shitty of a person is the brother, or is this young woman that somebody gets kicked out of a car in the middle of the night? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, how you'd have to make me pretty angry to just say you're walking home. In an undetermined distance.
But see, he wasn't telling her to walk home. He was just telling her to ride with her mom
Even
and
weirder,
sister
but,
who were behind her.
But what are the odds that this car would... I mean, that's
I mean,
a
it's
weird
a,
choice. Like,
it's
that's
a
like,
weird, it's a weird choice, and I'm sure they regret it now.
Well, yeah, yeah. But probably like, to assume that your mom and your sister will see her on the side of the road, like how much of a head start did he have?
Yeah.
Was she wearing like one of those?
Like a reflector?
Yeah.
But like, we also don't know if she was like, let me out, I'll ride with mom and sis.
Either way, yeah. I just don't understand the plan of the one car behind us that has the ability to take you home safely will definitely see you and get you home safely.
Yeah. In reporting the disappearance to police, they explained that Shui had no money with her, no identification, and spoke only limited English. She was wearing a red sweater, black pants, and sandals.
Even worse, sandals?
Crime of fashion.
Yeah, that is a weird outfit.
In the days that followed, Hanover Park Police, along with DuPage County deputy sheriffs, combed the fields and forest preserves in that area, but could find no trace of her. In addition to official efforts to locate the missing woman, both Borowski and Mack's families were actively participating in the search. So on Wednesday, September 8th, the suburban Broadview woman, yep, Rose Beck Davis, 30, was found beaten to death behind the wooden stairs of a three-story Lakeshore Drive apartment near Gauthier Street in Chicago. I don't even know why I tried to pronounce that street name. It didn't matter.
I think it's Gauthier.
Yeah, it could be, but
sound like a total dickhead.
It's not a real street. Doesn't matter. She was lying on her back. Her sweater, which appeared to have been ripped off, was lying nearby, and her blue corduroy slacks were in disarray. Her shoes and her purse were missing. Broadview is just a few miles southeast of Elmhurst, and authorities immediately thought there may be a connection. Chicago and Broadview police still were investigating the Davis death when, on the last day of September, a truck driver spotted the decomposed body of a woman in a field about a mile from where Shui Mock had last been seen. The remains, he said, were clad in a red sweater, black slacks, pink and white blouse, and thongs.
Aww.
Thong to thong, thong, thongs.
Because she obviously hates matching.
Right?
Yep.
Ling Mock identified the clothing as her sister's. A postmortem examination showed that Shui had died of a fractured skull. Less than 2 weeks later, on Sunday, October 10th, a hunter came upon the skeletal remains of Lorraine Borowski in a thicket in Clarendon Hills Cemetery near Westmont. Her clothing was found scattered nearby. Lori's mother was stunned. She and other family members had searched the same general area during the summer after a psychic had told them their missing daughter would be found in a cemetery. Mrs. Borowski said, "What bothers me is we were here. If we had stayed longer, we might have found her."
I want to do an episode on helpful psychics.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I know a psychic we can use if we ever want to bring one in.
Of course I do.
Why would we not want to?
Okay. If you want to, we can have an episode about psychics. And he can talk to us about us.
No, let's just do a session with him.
Like about us or about a case?
About us.
Okay.
And then he can talk about
in true crime, too.
And then he can talk about his true crime
ideas. Annabelle
ideas.
Referred him. Nicole Amy just had him. Jessica Michelle's had him.
I love psychics so much.
Yeah, they said
I'm all for
he's
it.
Awesome. So, yeah, let's do it.
Can you? I mean, it's pretty incredible that, like, okay, so one body is found a mile from where she went missing. They find this other body in an area that they've been searching. Like, I completely see how it's possible to miss a body. Like, I get
it.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, but that just must feel so yucky. And that's like two instances where, you know, like a mile is not that far.
Yeah.
You know? So the search radius, like somebody just wasn't, I don't know.
Wasn't looking that good. I don't know.
Because it's like you'd think if she goes missing in a field, you check the field, right? I don't know. Anyway, it's just a bummer that it happens. And
yeah.
But I think it's even weirder. Can you imagine if a psychic tells you to go look somewhere and you're all amped and you go and you're like, oh my God, I can't find, we didn't find her. And then they do.
Turns out that's right.
Just turns out you're bad at searching.
You went as far as to get the psychic, but that's where it stopped.
Yeah. Why didn't the psychic just take them to the body?
I don't know what the arrangement was. Have you ever seen the movie The Gift?
No.
With Kate Blanchett?
No.
Oh, it explains all of this.
Oh, okay.
Does it?
I love that movie so much.
Because they're supposed to... Yeah, that is weird. Like, why don't they use them? I think you can take them to different places. And I think I saw this on Missing Maura Murray, where they were taking a psychic around to different places. And she would say if she had feelings, if it was the correct spot or not.
Well, I mean, I would imagine if you're a psychic, it's just like anything. You know, you're not going to... It's just a talent you have. It's not like you're going to be good at it all the time or whatever. kind of like how right now I'm not being very funny. Like other times I am funny, but right now, right when I was explaining the second thing,
right,
it wasn't.
The second.
Yeah,
okay.
Right, the second. Never
I
mind.
Agree. That was pretty funny. That's like
classic Caitlin.
Thanks, Adam. Thanks.
Classic Caitlin.
No, I wasn't.
No, you looked at me for approval. I didn't know what to do.
I wasn't.
So I already smiled at you, but it doesn't translate on a podcast.
It's fine. You'll get it next time, Carrie. You're doing fine.
All right. Anyway, you're doing great.
So let's talk about another victim, 18-year-old convicted prostitute Beverly Washington.
That's a good prostitute name.
Wait, it's a great, great prostitute name.
Beverly Washington.
She was recovering in a Chicago hospital from a sadistic array of wounds. She'd been brought in unconscious to Illinois Masonic Hospital, Illuminati.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. I was going to do a Nas lyric, and I just lost it. It's about the Illuminati. It was going to be a really good reference.
It was there.
I just dropped it.
No, it wasn't that you dropped it. It's that you...
Caitlin, I dropped it.
...are overworked. You're tired.
But there's no excuse.
He just got back from vacation.
Oh. Well,
I know you like to defend people. I, on the other hand, like to point out their opportunities.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Carrie's right, and I make no excuses. So, Beverly Washington, she was recovering in the hospital. She'd been brought in unconscious after being found naked and bleeding profusely and near death alongside the Chicago and Northwestern Railroad tracks.
Bev is a survivor, damn it.
She is. She awakened in her hospital bed to discover that her left breast had been severed.
Oh, right at the chest head.
And her right one badly cut.
You said earlier, head of the chest.
Chest head, yeah. Her head chest.
It was your reference. How are you confused?
I don't think that's what I said.
Exactly what you said.
Just minutes ago. Approximately 26.
I don't think so. Play it back, Angie. Angie, play it back.
She remembered nothing of the bloody encounter, but was able to fill
Thank
in police
God.
On events leading up to it. She was badly beaten and barely able to speak, so she used handwritten notes and hand signals to help the detectives piece together what happened. She relayed that a young man in a red van picked her up while she was, quote, working the industrial area. She said he offered her $25. After driving her to a nearby vacant lot, the woman said the man threatened her with a knife and a gun, handcuffed her hands and feet, and tied her breasts with a rubber cord. Then he raped me and shoved some pills into my mouth and made me wash them down with soda pop, which soda or pop. So don't say soda
it's
pop.
It's typically not both.
Yeah, that's weird. Yeah.
Really? I thought that's
no.
what pop
And it's
was.
Typically pop is what they call it in the Midwest.
I always said soda. I was always staunchly soda.
I was always staunchly soda
Sometimes
as well.
Sometimes sody.
I don't
Sometimes soda, yeah, some of my Indiana relatives, though, would call it soda pop or sody pop.
Yeah, they're wrong.
Sody pop. Look, I'm team soda. I
soda
can't,
or soda?
I don't understand the pop
But I
thing.
Also said, I did say supper. I didn't say dinner.
No, supper's not a real thing.
When I moved to California, I'd be like, oh, when's supper?
Oh,
and, yeah.
Oh,
in the dorms at Cal State Long Beach. And they're like, what meal is that? I'm like, I don't know. Is that for lunch around 5 p.m.? And they're like, no, that's early. And I'm like, I don't know then. I don't
know. I don't know.
We had supper at 4:30 or 5. We were early.
It's incredibly
eaters.
Early to eat your last meal
well,
of the day.
Yeah. I mean, I was a thin kid. My metabolism.
So after downing those pills with that sody pop, she blacked out. And the next thing she remembered was she was in the hospital. Police theorized that after cutting the woman's breasts, the assailant tossed her out of the van and left her for dead along the tracks, where she was discovered by a scavenger looking for aluminum cans. She was able to describe the red van and its contents in great detail. She described it as a red Dodge with black seat covers and smoked windows. True story, I was out walking my dog today and saw through the windshield of a car this really cool NWA seat cover. And I pull out my phone to take a picture and realize I'm pointing my phone at a person sitting in the front seat of their car just wearing an NWA t-shirt. So then I had to act like I was checking a text and then moved on.
We've
so
all
I didn't
done
just...
that.
You were looking at him. He was looking at you.
He was just blending in. Just It was dark in that car.
To the upholstery.
It was a shirt. It was a black shirt. It's dark. It was all.
I was on the Revlon walk 1 year with my mother-in-law, way before she was my mother-in-law. It was just my boyfriend's mom at the time. And there was this lady in front of us, and she had this like really weird rumpled hat on, but I could tell it was a hat. But my mother-in-law, who didn't have her glasses on, was like trying to be, she's just a very like encouraging person. Like, yeah, you go, way to go. Like, good job, everybody. And when she saw this woman, she's like, wow, that's a great Washington wig you've got on. And I was like, huh? And then she, and then, but then it was great because the way she recovered, she goes, nope, just a hat, and kept walking. And this lady didn't understand anything that had happened, but it was funny. Whoa, that's a great Washington wig you got on there. Whoop, nope, that's a hat.
Nice.
It was good.
Yeah, seat we're covers. Here. That's where I was, seat covers.
Seat covers.
After I, before I derailed us. She described the van as a red Dodge with black seat covers and smoked windows. There was a plywood partition with a hinged plywood door separating the cab from the cargo area.
Oh, boy.
Along the sidewalls were 12 wooden shelves containing tools and electrical wiring. And dangling from the carpeted ceiling was a roach clip used to smoke marijuana joints.
Set
wild!
Whoa. Yay, yay! Attached to a blue and white feather. Fucking hippie piece of shit.
Gross.
A description of the van went out over the police radio, and on the night of October 20th, Detective Thomas J. Flynn and his partner Philip Murphy spotted the red Dodge. They curbed the vehicle and questioned its driver, 21-year-old Edward Spreitzer. He told them the van belonged to his boss.
Hmm.
They looked in the vehicle and saw the roach clip hanging from the ceiling and the plywood partition. On swinging open the rear doors, they saw the shelves and bins on both walls. Spreitzer was driving to meet his boss, Robin Gecht of R&R Electrical Co.
Really quickly, like, normally an eyewitness account is not great, and it's not that detailed.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, you know, you're kind of like, all right, we're looking for red vans. I'm just thinking, like, the morale going into the search. You're like, all right, this woman has been fed narcotics. She's missing a boob. She's a prostitute. Yeah. Like, this was a really detailed account. I don't know how much of this is real. And then you, like, find the van. Like,
with the roach clip still hanging from the ceiling.
And the feather. Like, it's pretty specific.
Yeah.
That, I mean, it's kind of a miracle that this woman was able to remember all of it. I'm sad could, frankly. But
maybe because of, like, her profession, she is more on alert.
Probably.
So she is always watching stuff in case something would happen to her.
I guess, yeah. But, I mean, I just think it would be bizarre to... Because the odds of them having that kind of detail locked in and to actually come upon detail that matches that well, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is kind of like Stronger, where Jake Gyllenhaal woke up with no legs.
It is almost exactly like that.
It's funny because I flashed multiple times to the movie Stronger about Jake Gyllenhaal.
Right.
Because he also got his chest head cut off in that. Mm-hmm. If I remember correctly.
And also, Boston is really close to Chicago.
Really close.
So,
I mean, they're both...
And there were two races.
Both 70s bands.
Going on.
Yeah.
One was a marathon.
They are both 70s bands.
Boston and Chicago, sure.
So, it's the same movie.
It was a race of life.
Pretty much the same movie. Yeah, I get it.
That's something I would be willing to do. Like, go out on the streets and see how many tricks I could turn for money instead of doing a Patreon.
Called prostitution.
You're just talking... Yeah.
No. Yeah. Not what I was planning to do.
No, because Carrie would get really competitive about it, too.
I would. I wanted to, like, get the most money.
Only...
Like, here's my levels. For 25, I'll touch the tip of your penis.
See, you're going to be undersold. People are going to come right out from
underneath. Like, what's so special about you touching my penis? I'm like, well, because I'm also going to slip you a cassette tape of the Unpopular Opinion Show with my friend Adam Todd Brown that you can listen to later.
On cassette.
In your Chester van.
Never mind. That is, you'll do well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take merch. I guess I should have mentioned that.
The only prostitute with merch. A really competitive prostitute with merch.
This is my block.
Oh, no,
this is my block. And then I open up. It'd be July and 110 degrees, and I got a trench coat.
In Chicago.
Probably a pico, a fashionable pico. Okay. And I'll be wearing heels.
That is very fashionable. Yes.
I have Rolexes and Unpops cassette tapes.
Funniest idea ever. Just a prostitute with merch.
Where maybe I don't do sex, but wait.
You'd have
maybe
to do
you're
sex.
A prostitute who just sells merch.
I don't know. I think that just makes me a salesperson.
Nope, we could spit it. I disagree. Oh, man.
But if I
funny.
Touch the tip of their penis.
That is prostitution.
Yeah, I agree.
No,
yeah.
I have to touch your penis or it's not prostitution.
So for me to be able to go back and say I prostituted and I sold a bunch of merch, I'll be like, I feel like I'd be that person selling like magazine subscriptions, and every night I'd have to come back to Adam and be like, okay, this is how much of your merch I sold, or else I don't have a place to sleep tonight.
Oh, they won't let you back in the community center.
You open the trench coat. Yeah. Someone's like, I'll take the cock ring. And you're like, no, it's just a key ring. Just regular
keys. It's like
keys.
The end of Scrooge. There's just like bodies clinging to the side of Carrie trying to stay warm.
I like it. I'm
not
sold.
A post. I've done
I'm
worse.
Sold.
It's a pioneering business model. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Can't disagree with that.
So after the police pull this guy over, they travel with him to go meet this guy's boss, who was 28-year-old Robin Gecht, a carpenter electrician. They inform him that a 1975 Dodge matched the description of the van used in the assault on the prostitute. He volunteered to accompany them to Area 5 headquarters for questioning. Gecht's older brother, a cop devotee who had been awarded an honorary suburban police star, which, that might sound cool.
What the hell,
but
man?
Immediate
no.
red flag to me.
No.
If you're a civilian that's that tight with the police.
No, that's not
hard
good.
Pass.
That's like, what's his name? Sink. Who, what?
You're not going to throw up in the sink. You're just saying that to make fun of me.
Are you really going to go throw up?
Damn it.
Damn it.
While the three were being questioned, police searched the van and found a sedative tablet similar to those the rape victim said she had been forced to swallow before her breast was severed.
Sedative?
Like, they got everything. Why didn't they just arrest this guy then?
Because they've got honorary Eagle Scout best friend cops.
Yeah, that's true. Police also ran a routine check on the three men and learned that 2 years earlier, Robin Gecht had been arrested on a charge of contributing to the sexual delinquency of a 14-year-old girl. And at the time, he lived in northwest suburban Hanover Park, the same suburb where Shui Mock had disappeared. The Gecht brothers and Spritzer were taken to Illinois Masonic Hospital, where the slash victim was recovering.
Jesus, no, this is such a horrible thing to do to somebody.
Yeah.
Bev is tough as nails.
Yeah, Bev's a badass.
But I am happy to say that we finally have this crew that everybody's talking
about. Yes, finally. The
hustling on down, doing it for you.
We are the Rippers. Ripping crew. This fuck!
I wish we...
Not a good rapper.
What did I
Super
do wrong?
Bowl Shuffle. Can you Google it real quick? Lyrics? Super Bowl Shuffle?
No, because then it's got the airplane thing.
Yeah,
that happened.
We're in airplane. Your phone's in airplane mode, right?
Oh, it's out there.
Oh, okay. That works too.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to be on the...
An impromptu lineup was held in the corridor outside the woman's room, and she quickly identified Robin Gecht. Based on the woman's identification, he was charged with attempted murder, rape, deviant sexual assault, as opposed to regular sexual assault, armed robbery because her jewelry was taken, and aggravated battery, and as a final kick in the teeth, his van was impounded.
That's
bullshit.
Some bullshit. I'm really glad that they put all this together so that the case could easily be thrown out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. You can't do an impromptu lineup in a hospital.
How fucking scary is that? Most people are scared when they're behind, like, what is that? Like, the no see-through glass? Like, the glass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what's the two-way mirror.
Okay. Could you imagine, like, having them in front of you?
No.
And you're recovering.
The only story that I have that's anywhere near like this is I was recovering from heart surgery in Children's Hospital Los Angeles when I was 12 years old, and the UCLA, the UCLA soccer team was doing some big national tour, like
that's
they were
hot.
Doing really well.
How old are you?
I was 12, which means I was like an older kid, like, but I was old
I
enough to
so
be embarrassed.
Boy crazy. Oh, I've been so boy crazy.
But, yeah, I was boy crazy, except there were like six soccer players in my hospital room, and I had a, you know, catheter, like a bag of pee next to me, and I, you know, I had something sticking out of my neck and tubes in my chest, and they were like all gorgeous, and I was like, yeah, this sounds about right for me. This is my life for sure. And they're like, hang in there, kid. I'm like, thanks, guys. I haven't gotten my period yet. It was, yeah. But anyway, even that was intimidating. So I, you know, and I had both boobs at that time, and those guys hadn't done that to me. So that's very scary.
Very scary. After arresting Robin Gecht, police began to link Washington's assault with other unsolved crimes in the area, like that of Angel York, 23, formerly of St. Louis. She reported a similar assault on June 13th, 1982. She told police she'd been picked up by a man in a van who handcuffed her in the rear of the vehicle, then said he had taken a knife, carved a gaping hole into one of her breasts, and performed a sexual act.
Jesus. Which breast do you think it was?
Left.
Yes.
The head.
But it was chest in head. The chest head.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't say that.
I can't believe that you think you didn't say that.
Brett, play back the tape.
Brett is not here.
So do you think she was like lucid when they carved into her boob?
Yeah. Probably. I mean, unless
she remembers the sexual act. So
I think that's
horrible. The grossest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the fact that she's still alive. Well, I don't know. I don't think you have sex again or something like that.
Yeah.
Like something's not happening. Right. He took something from her with that one.
Oh yeah. After the assault, he tossed her out of the van on the north side. She identified a police photo of Gecht as that of her attacker. Detectives believe that Gecht also was a likely suspect in the slaying of Sandra Delaware, whose naked body had been found under the Fullerton Avenue Bridge on the north branch of the Chicago River on August 28th. She'd been stabbed in the abdomen and strangled.
They liked him young. She was 18.
Yeah, it's crazy. 5 days after Gecht's arrest and the attack on the prostitute, he was freed in lieu of $50,000 bond, of course. You got to let this guy out. On the Monday after Gecht was released, a 25-year-old woman told police she had been picked up on North Sheridan Road by a man answering his description. Gecht's description. Relax, the man told her. I'll give you $150 if you'll tell me the goriest, bloodiest stories you can tell. Ugh. When she balked, he began flailing at her head with a homemade axe, which was just a large piece of broken glass embedded in a wooden handle. She raised her arms to ward off the attack. The woman said she clawed her way past the driver and tumbled out on his side of the car, screaming as he sped off. A new warrant was issued for Gecht, and on Friday, November 5th, detectives rearrested him at the home of a relative in Carpentersville. Police throughout the area were rapidly becoming interested in Gecht as word of the violent attacks on women spread. Moreover, it was learned that Gecht once had lived near a cemetery west of Illinois Highway 83, where the body of Lori Borowski had been found. Warren Wilkos, a DuPage County Sheriff's detective, also noticed similarities in attacks on the Chicago women to a homicide he'd been working on for more than a year. Wilkos was looking for the killer of Linda Sutton, 28, who had been last seen on the west side of Chicago in May 1981. Her decomposed body had been found a month later in a wooded area behind the Brer Rabbit Motel in Villa Park, Illinois. She'd been sexually assaulted and her body mutilated. And her chest head was amputated.
God.
Yeah.
That and that chest head. Yeah.
It's a crazy crime.
I'm just confused
chest head.
How did we
always
get,
left, too.
But we're down to a guy when we had a crew.
Yeah. Oh,
so I'm just pointing
the crew
out.
The comes together at the end for the conviction.
The crew forms.
But I mean, they're shuffling right now, I believe. Shuffling on down, maybe doing
shuffling
it for
on
you.
Down, maybe doing it for you, Caitlin.
Me.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
They're not here for feathers ruffle. They're just here to do the Super Bowl shuffle. I remember even as a kid, I was like,
oh, this is a song.
Fuck whoever wrote that line. That is the stupidest. We're not here for feathers ruffle. Shut the fuck up.
I have a new lyric that I hate. It's that Bruno Mars song about getting married or whatever. And he goes, we're looking for something fun to do and all that shit. I think I want to marry you. And then he's like, is it that look in your eye or is it this dancing juice? I don't know what I guess that dancing Jews.
He said dancing Jews.
Also,
Caitlin.
What I was worried about.
Dancing chinks.
It's two things. It's one of two things. It's Jewish people dancing or alcohol making him want to get married. But dancing Jews is such a dumb way to talk about alcohol.
Yeah. Jews, right?
It's definitely.
Any of those things are a stupid excuse to get married.
Correct.
Just
yeah.
Dancing
well,
Jews, juice or Jews.
I can't imagine the dancing Jews thing unless it taps into some deep heritage
situation.
I don't know. Like tradition or whatever. But anyway, that's a new lyric I hate.
Fuck you, Bruno Mars.
He's doing just fine. He doesn't need our approval.
I like Bruno.
I do kind of as well, but that lyric
is... He's an amazing entertainer.
See, now you're getting competitive. You're like doubling down.
A Filipino.
Is he Filipino?
Yeah, I believe so.
I believe
also,
so.
Is he a
or
robot?
Might be Hawaiian.
But Justin Timberlake.
He's better than Justin Timberlake, I think, at this
don't
point, for sure.
Really? That way.
What?
I think they're both great.
That stupid song, that Sunshine in My Pocket crap,
I
was
don't,
bad.
I
don't like that
think
song,
he
no.
likes that song. Like, I think he's went on record and said that he didn't like that song.
Yeah.
He went on record?
Justin? Yeah, just Justin.
You know, JT of the NSYNCs.
You just totally shorted out. You're like, yeah, Justin. That was so good. I believe you. I just do. I'm sure he hates the song.
Yeah.
But I like Bruno Mars more.
So let's talk about this crew coming together.
Finally, because finally. I need some action.
So authorities learned that Geck twice had done construction work for John Wayne Gacy, of course. And a friend quoted Geck to say...
You didn't say it was an all-star crew.
That's funny.
Thanks, Carrie. Finally.
The pros versus the stars.
She finally thinks I'm funny. That's good.
A friend quoted Gekta saying the only mistake Gacy made was burying the bodies under his home.
Actually, that's true.
That is kind of true, yeah.
Because otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to get him for all of the murders.
Yeah. And it took a... He committed a lot.
Yeah.
A former roommate of Gekta flunked a lie detector test.
Sure.
After which he volunteered information about bodies buried near railroad tracks and in forest preserves. His story touched off a massive search for more victims of the man police now were calling a modern-day Jack the Ripper, but they didn't find any bodies. And, ironically enough, the reported attack that led to Geck's rearrest, complete hoax. The woman with the hammer that was...
Oh, thank God.
She cut her arms trying to burglarize a place and... That just was... lied to police about it. But when Gecht was arrested again, detectives brought in two of his friends, Edward Spreitzer and Andrew Cocoralis, who was in the van when Spreitzer was picked up.
Cocoralis, that's a name.
That's yeah.
It's that's a, such a high school Polish. Name. That's a name that you remember forever.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, remember Andrew Cocoralis?
Yeah, remember Coco? Murdered some broads.
Oh, he definitely went by Coco.
Oh, yeah, I would call him Coco. And... The three immediately begin implicating each other.
Reservoir Dogs.
Yep. Carrie's yep. favorite picture of anything.
That's my all-time favorite picture. Because they all have guns pointed at each
that
other.
That is like your catch-all metaphor for literally everything. I like it. And you use it accurately every time.
And sometimes it's guns. Sometimes I'll say microphones. Sometimes I'll say penises. It depends what the instance is.
But again, it's a metaphor. It's always... So it's very flexible.
Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah. During questioning, Geck didn't reveal much, but Spreitzer revealed details about the murder, and the three suspects also implicated Cocoralis' brother, Thomas, who's 22. He was arrested and charged with the abduction and murder of Lorraine Borowski. Spreitzer and Cocoralis were charged with the murder of Rose Beck Davis, a Broadview housewife who was found beaten and strangled on the Gold Coast on September 8th. Spreitzer also was booked in the murder of Sandra Delaware. The arrests were announced by Richard Chechik.
Yep, you're fine.
Sure. Then Chicago police superintendent, he disclosed...
Polish.
Of course. He disclosed that Gecht and his two companions were suspects in as many as 17 Chicago area homicides, including the Borowski and Sutton slayings and Schwemock. This is a quote from that guy.
Yeah, you're good.
The only way I can say it is it's gruesome. Very, very gruesome.
Wow, he was a poet.
He was. That was very eloquent. With one exception, these murders followed a common thread. The abduction of a lone female, mutilation, sexual attack, and murder itself. The exception, he said, was the apparently random killing of Rafael Tirado, 28, who'd been shot from a passing car near his Northside home on October 6th, the night the teenage prostitute had been slashed.
Do you think he saw something?
Like, that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Maybe just saw the vehicle and they knew.
Like, oh, okay, we're going to have to kill this guy because yeah. he saw something.
Could be. And the one detail that linked most of these slayings or attacks is that the remains were still identifiable, except the victim's breasts had been mutilated or slashed off with a knife or piano wire.
That sounds like eyebrow threading of the breast.
It is exactly like eyebrow threading.
Yeah, the chest head, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Threading the chest head.
This is like some, like, Saw stuff. Like, this
it's really bad, yeah.
That's like something if I saw in a movie, I'd be like, come on.
That's like something you'd see in Seven, but it'd be like, instead of Gwyneth Paltrow's head, it would be her chest head in a box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Oh,
a chest head.
Just one of them. Looks like the left one.
A left chest head.
I have a drink in my other hand anyway.
Yeah, I'm Kevin Spacey.
That was a good Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
That was a really good Kevin Spacey.
I'm Kevin Spacey.
Was mine good?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Can somebody do Morgan Freeman?
I'm Morgan Freeman.
Oh my God. Which of us even said that?
Speaking of God, I've played God multiple times.
Don't look in the box. Wait, was that Brad Pitt? Was that Morgan Freeman.
You were. Oh, here's and honestly, when you did that, you looked like him for a second. Okay.
Here's my Brad Pitt.
All right, ready?
What's in the box?
Whoa.
Hold on. Okay.
What remember, year he said is that it? Exact same thing in 7.
Correct.
Okay, hold on.
Correct.
I'm Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay. Oh, that's good. That was good. That was good. That was good.
Because she was dead.
Yeah. She was a chest head. That was good.
We are killing it.
Woo!
So the first inkling that these killings might have been part of a cult ritual came when a former neighbor of Gecht in...
Hard left turn.
Yes.
Cult ritual. Sorry.
In Villa Park.
Beer, beer, beer.
Told authorities that Gecht enjoyed reading books on torture practices of ancient cultures. And this is a quote. He told me he was reading about how the ancients cut off the breasts of women and saved them for tobacco pouches.
Which, to be fair, is also something Indiana Jones would know about.
Right. Exactly.
I just wanna...
Was there nothing else to make a fucking tobacco pouch out of?
No.
Oh, okay. I guess I didn't...
Adam.
I guess I didn't realize, but you're right
depending
now that I think about it.
Depending on the size of the breast.
I mean, it depends. Like, do you want, like, a shitty tobacco pouch, or do you want the best tobacco pouch? Because if you want the best tobacco pouch, you need a chest head.
I feel like yes. If you took off my left breast, you could put, like, a kangaroo in it and if, carry it around the outback.
If you took off my left breast, you could really only use it as a tobacco pouch. I'm just...
Both
you know.
Useful, though. Kangaroo,
no,
tobacco
I, I'm
pouch.
Not, yeah, yeah, I don't feel like less of a woman. I'm just... For utility purposes, that's
right.
That's I'm just being
like
honest.
Yours might do better like in San Francisco or Chicago or somewhere where like they need change for like a subway
correct.
Or like
yeah.
a laundry machine
or if you need like a bag of like magic beans because
mm-hmm.
like, you don't get
magic
a ton of
bean bag.
Yeah, that would yeah. be my left chest head.
Perfect. You're in the outback.
Yeah,
and I mean, you need to carry around a marsupial.
Yeah, then we need carries.
Then you need my chest head.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Got it. So
oh, I'm glad we got that out of the way.
There was also a theory that Satan worship was involved, and this theory gained impetus when police found 6 crosses, some black and some red, painted on the walls of a tiny attic room in a house once occupied by Gecht. Thomas Cocorellis told investigators that the room had contained an altar made from a board covered with red cloth where cult members cut up animal parts and sometimes human parts for sacrifice. Cook County Assistant State's Attorney Richard Buki would disclose at Cocorella's trial that the severed breasts of the murder victims would be removed from a box and placed on the altar. The rituals, while Gecht read patches...
And then one day they would rise again.
What, all the breasts, you mean?
People. All the chest heads.
Okay, yeah, got it.
Like in Fantasia.
The people behind the chest.
Da-dun, da-dun, da-dun. Sorry.
And Gecht would read passages from the Bible while cannibalism rituals happened.
Did it make you wonder if it was the religious Bible or the Satan Bible? Because I think there's two different ones.
Yeah, I'm
curious. I don't know if they're saying it was just because that's weird reading
right.
material
well,
for
any reading material in this circumstance is weird reading material.
That's true.
First of all, but secondly,
I mean,
this
thing with a shuffling crew. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
Coming on down, they're reading Satan Bibles for you.
Yeah, and fluffing up their feathers for whatever. But also, like, these are the people that really fucked up things for Satanic Panic, in my opinion. Like,
yeah.
All you really need is, like, one person to be severing boobs with a piano wire and
they
everybody.
They just ruined it for all Satanic
really
Panickers.
Did. Yeah, I'm
they
just
really
saying.
Did.
Like, takes one asshole. Here we are. It's like, okay, it's 3, but still, you know, a crew of assholes.
A ripper crew.
Turns out to be 4.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
In all, they gave authorities information about 17 murders, some of which never might have been proved because the victims' bodies could not be found. Prosecutors said that each gave signed, tape-recorded statements implicating themselves in various killings, often committed under the influence of drugs, alcohol, or both. Police are certain that the cultists killed 8 people. The rest is speculation. Here's the thing, though. This happened in Chicago, which at this time was notorious for false confessions. So I don't doubt...
Oh, you mean the area where they marched 3 people into a hospital and then made her do a random lineup might not be the most kosher police department?
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's the least of it now.
And I know.
The thing is, this Thomas Cocorellis, they later found out, has an IQ of like 75...
Right and, above retardation.
And he was the one who
but
said...
A Dassey situation.
Yeah, he was the one who's, in his confession, that's where all the Satanist and cultist stuff comes out. So...
Was there a lot of false confessions in the early 80s, though?
That's why Illinois overturned the death penalty.
And that comes out later with what a great guy, Governor George Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, that George Ryan, when he did that, he didn't have any choice because there was this one cop who worked for the Chicago PD who had worked there like 20 or 30 years. And finally, he was just like, look, I've sent like 250 people to jail on false confessions. And they were like, we cannot execute another fucking person until we make sure all of these people on death row are actually guilty.
Yeah.
And it was because of that one cop that they overturned. But it was such a rampant thing in Chicago. So, yeah, they eventually, I mean, all of these people went to prison. Weirdly enough, Gecht was the only one who was never charged with murder, but he was sentenced to 120 years in prison. So he won't be getting out. But Thomas Cocorellis, the...
Coco?
Well,
oh, no, one Coco's of the Cocos. Bro. It's Coco's bro. Tom Coco.
Yeah, Thomas Cocorellis, originally sentenced to life in prison for his role in 82. He's the one who was mentally impaired, IQ of 75. He might be out by the time we read this.
I don't like that.
Because he was given a deal that basically gives him, for every day of good behavior, he gets one day taken off his sentence. And now he's basically eligible for parole.
Like a fairy tale?
And basically, pretty much. They just said he was like a chill dude in prison.
Yeah, well, they said he was a that's why the fact that they got the Satan stuff out of him, it doesn't sell me on the Satan aspect of this crime.
I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, you got your notes from all these different articles, but when he first told me about the Ripper Crew, I Wikipedia'd it, and it literally just said, like, oh, yeah, these guys went out, they murdered these people, they were all Satanists. Like, it was almost like those were the facts. It wasn't as objective or subjective as this.
It's all based on Coco's testimony.
I think the murders are legitimate. I think they legitimately committed the murders, but I think the more sensational Satanism aspects of it.
That's why I brought up the whole...
Satanic Panic,
but here's the other thing. People, like... God, like, people that are going to go out and do shit like this are also just assholes. So, you know, he might have been, like, pretending to be a Satanist or something like that. I mean, anything's possible.
Why does anybody kill, you know?
I don't know, but I'm not surprised.
The sexual satisfaction?
If it's a crew of people, if it's a crew, like, literally a crew, there's always one asshole that's trying to prove himself to everybody, so he's making them do dumb shit, like paint crosses, and I'm not surprised.
Fucking Ripper Crew.
Is that like squad goals?
It is.
Kind of.
Ripper goals.
Yeah.
Hashtag Ripper Crew goals.
Ripper Crew goals, yeah.
I like it. That's the Chicago Rippers. They're all in prison now, except one who might be out by the time
and
you hear this.
And you saw this on your
I saw this on an episode of a show called, it's on Netflix right now, it's called A Cult Crime, Season 1, Episode 7. And the thing is, there are a lot of inconsistencies in that show and what we covered here. Ashley Best did a lot of the research for this, and she didn't even include the stuff from the show because it's so different from what, like, the Chicago Tribune and actual sources were reporting. But when you watch the Occult Crimes episode about this, they make it seem like it was just full-throttle Satanism. Like, they really play up that aspect of it.
It's not unheard of. I mean, Carrie and I have talked about this so many times. It's just, like, whatever the angle of the show is, they repackage the crime to make it...
But how many Ripper Crews have we been in?
7.
Okay, at least.
Yeah, I mean, at this point...
It's exactly 7. I document all your crimes so I can blackmail you later.
I have a lot of t-shirts.
Ripper Crew t-shirts?
White Wine Ripper Crew?
Yeah, White Wine Ripper Crew and, you know, Breast Head for Life.
That's when I commit a crime. I like to... I like to fire off a t-shirt cannon right after.
You know me, my t-shirt cannons, Carrie.
We have this one comic acquaintance who we feel like wears one shirt, and it is a 2 to 3 XL, and it looks like it was shot out of a
His
t-shirt
whole
cannon.
Wardrobe looks like it's been shot out of a cannon.
I'll censor the name. Oh, I don't even know who that is.
Exactly.
So now I'm going to leave it in.
Comic. Yeah, he's
Please
whatever.
Don't leave it in.
I won't leave it in.
Because you know the thing about that guy is that he will... somehow hear this episode.
Oh yeah,
he's that
sure.
guy for sure. Like,
yeah.
Anyway,
so what do we have to plug before we get out of here?
We should let
people know Pretty Scary is going to be bi-weekly because one of us had a baby.
Sorry, everybody.
Caitlin had a baby, but you're going to be doing more white wine true crime.
Yeah, we've got more going on in white wine.
And I'm going to be very busy prostituting your cassette tapes.
Yes.
Practically buskering, but yeah.
So Pretty Scary will be bi-weekly. We have another podcast that's coming next week that'll be switching off with this one, but it'll be a surprise.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, well, we have to still put a podcast.
Oh, got it.
On the weeks that your podcast does.
Oh, you
does
can't
it
just like leave it there and...
Yeah, just...
Just let it be like white noise for an
just
hour.
In honor of Pretty Scary, no podcast that day.
And like everybody's flag is at
there can be only one.
It's just his soundboard over and over again. Burr, burr, burr. Yeah.
Flying through the air.
But yeah, just white wine true crime. Come check us out. You can find us on the interwebs. You can find us on Stitcher and on your Apple iPod app. Super easy to find us. I'm fine. Everything's fine.
You don't sound like a mom at all.
My brain literally stopped working.
On your Apple iPods.
Hey, you seem like you're shutting down.
Hey, if you want, go ahead and send me a text message, and then I'll get your email address, and then I'll send you an email, and then you can email me back the link for my show.
Oh, my.
Yeah. It'll be great.
It does sound great.
Unfortunately, you're going to have to listen to the show on your television. I don't know how it works. I'll ask my son.
Who's 8 weeks.
He already knows more than I do.
This goes up on the 10th, so I will be at the Hollywood Hotel tonight for Quincy Johnson's show, which is called Hilarity. And then Friday the 12th, I'll be at West Side Comedy Theater for Darkest Hour, 11:30 p.m. Come out to that. January 22nd, I'm at some speakeasy cocktail place in Santa Monica.
That place is fun.
What's it called? Is it called Speakeasy? I'll be at Speakeasy in Santa Monica on January 22nd for Adam Feuerberg's show.
That is a fun show.
Wow,
that guy is a prince.
Let me recommend.
He's the nicest guy.
Yeah, he's really great.
And he's funny, and
their burger is really good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Weirdly, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'll haul Angie along. We will eat some burgers.
It's good. You gotta get there a little early because the kitchen will close, but you'll be fine.
You should
get the
bring him on home for winter,
puppy. She's a good puppy. All right. Do we have anything else? We should wrap this up.
No.
Yeah, I think
we gotta do another one of these.
White wine true crime.
Oh, are you telling me? Oh,
no.
Hi.
No, no, you don't.
White wine true crime. You can find us at www.whitewinetruecrime.com. If you're gonna rate us, please just 5-star reviews.
Only 5-star reviews
or above, and then like a nice comment.
6 to 7-star reviews, please.
Preferably. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's get out of here, Caitlin. Say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Carrie, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.